everybody. Welcome to a Thursday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Murray alongside, as always, we'll take you three-handed up there, good buddy Phil Venati. His outstanding show, Behind the Bench, 2 hours today, and that will lead up to the, here's the understatement of all time, critically important Game 6, really, no kidding, Tony, of the Western Conference Finals of the NBA as the Spurs try to survive to head back to OKC. They'll tip it a little after 5:30. Of course, we'll have coverage not only of the end of this series, which could be tonight, but also the NBA Finals as the Knicks await the winner. A game tonight, incidentally, television-wise, on NBC. I bring this up because there has, we've talked, been mass confusion, particularly in the early rounds with Prime Video doing a lot of games. And then Peacock, the streaming entity of NBC, doing some games. And, of course, we know ESPN and ABC sharing the Mouse's feed. But we will definitely, for you radio-wise, have the finals as well as we intersperse the Giants and A's with the finals. But for tonight, very important game, obviously, and I'll talk more about that with Jack Burdick in just a couple of minutes. Jack with me on a Thursday because we had the Giant preemption yesterday. By the way, to the Giants, congratulations for going to the Ruben Rivera School of Base Running yesterday. That was really nicely done in the eighth inning. A little league team could have run the bases better. Willie Mays, when they honored him one time, the mayor didn't show up in San Francisco. Willie was very angry about the Giant ownership, which he felt taking advantage of his name and not helping him in any other way. And Willie showed up, and the deputy mayor was there. And Willie said, I'd like to thank the mayor for skipping Willie Mays Day. Maybe next year I'll bring a Little League team out, and he'll show up. Okay, well, I would say this. Maybe the Giants ought to quit running the bases like a Little League team, and then more people will show up. That's all I'm telling you. And good news, they head to Colorado tomorrow, where it's always so easy on your pitching staff being at Coors Field. Yes, if I sound like a frustrated Giant fan, hey, guys, it's been going on for a long, long time. With the 10, 12, and 14, an oasis in 60 to 70 years of abject frustration with this team. Other than that, things are going well. I'll tell you about the schedule and all of that for both stations a little bit later on, courtesy of our great friend Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. When we go over the schedule, I will delineate the great fundraising that Ed does for his beloved alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. As I mentioned, Jack Burdick waiting to jump on, a lot to talk about today, not only basketball, but all the legal wrangling going on in sport, from Major League Baseball to the comments by the SEC commissioner to the Sorsby situation. We'll get to whatever we can with Jack in just a couple of minutes, and obviously the initial focus will be Fresno State basketball. But first, other lead dogs want to spend a little bit of time with you, including our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Terrific local people. You can reach them 825-5337 via phone. That is 825-LEES, or on the web. You can schedule appointments at leesair.com. Anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing, these are the people to see. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. Really professional people. Great group to deal with. Very competitive pricing and very timely. So if you need them, give them a call or hit them up on the web. You'll see the avocado, green, and blue truck show up in a big, big hurry. As far as the forecast goes, this afternoon we're supposed to see more rain in the northwest part of town. It's been kind of on and off, nothing of substance yet, but we do have a legitimate chance for rain and thunderstorms this afternoon through the earlier parts of tonight, and then it's supposed to clear out. And so right now a forecast of 65, which is very unseasonal for this time of year. And then we move back to 78 on Friday, and then it starts to get back to normal. 86 on Saturday, 90 on Sunday, and then in the 7 day, we finish up 94 on Monday, and then 97 Tuesday and Wednesday with the lows back in the mid-60s. The winds are still up around 10 miles or so an hour. We won't see the gusts today we saw yesterday, but again, be careful out there, particularly if you happen to be under one of those cells that causes a thunderstorm. And in the upper reaches, we still may see a dusting of snow, which is highly unusual this time of year as well. So it is a little bit of an unsettled forecast for this afternoon, and then we get back to normal. And I'm sure the 100-degree weather will be around the corner as we roll toward June starting next week. Anyway, thanks, everybody, at Lee's for allowing us time to tell you about the weather. Again, anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing, 825-537-825, Lee's or leesair.com on the web. The final reminder comes courtesy of another longtime friend, Joe Cruz, and his outstanding business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Joe has been a benefactor at Fresno State for over three decades. It affords me the time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. The first, remind you about Joe's business, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses. It's all there. Very family-friendly business. Find him at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town, Suite 103. Or you can give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or on the web, superiorpipeusa.com. Or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. We remind you all the time, if you're working around a valve, if you're a plant maintenance person, tanker delivery service operator, someone who works around a boiler, maybe you're at a dairy, anybody who relies upon a valve for the productivity of their business, if a valve starts to go down, your business can come crashing down with it, and then you take the catastrophic hit to your bottom line. What Joe can do is make time for you, whether it's by phone or in person, to listen to your situation, analyze it, give you a same-day estimate, start your service right away. If it's a minor hit, and keep you up and running in a way that you don't even notice you had the hit to begin with. If it's already become a major issue, he will set up the MO you need to get yourself back up and running in a big, big hurry. The personalized service is what has made this a successful business now in its 26th year. As I mentioned, Joe has been a benefactor at his beloved Fresno State for over three decades. I want to remind you about with Joe is that every day he tells me, hey, you know what? It's great to talk about my business, but I also want you to talk about what people can do right now to benefit Fresno State, because Joe is one of the guys that has said it's going to take this grassroots effort. But, you know, it's great if you have corporate entities around you. There are some here, but not like you have in the major, major metropolitan areas in this state. So because of it, you need to have everybody pulling the rope in one direction, and that's what Joe is trying to do, lead the way. And he will tell you right now the best way to go about donation, head to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. You can't miss it. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of potential donation. BulldogFoundation.org has a link. Under that header, you'll find Club Red, which is involvement for former student-athletes. The major giving societies have their links. The Green Bee Society, the Myers Champion Circle. Then under Ways to Give, you have Valley Co-op, the critically important matching funds grouping. Valley Fueled is there. And then the sports clubs, where you give your money directly to a sport that you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Purdy with me in just a moment to talk basketball on the board of directors of the timeout club. Jack has said, love to have more members. It doesn't cost that much. It's a great social organization in addition to inside information you get from the coaches during the meetings. Jack has said you want more information to join. Give him a call directly on his cell anytime. Just not right now, okay, because he's coming on air with me. But anytime after 3 o'clock today, including 3 o'clock in the morning, you can call Jack. More than happy to answer the phone. 559-287-3305. That's his cell. Or you can hit him up on an email offering at purdyjack@aol.com. There are links for other men's and women's sports there under Ways to Give, including, for instance, Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports. And then finally, there is a single header, just has the word more there, and that will tell you about upcoming events for men's basketball, for football, tell you how to get your tickets, all of those things, events on campus right there for you. So it's one-stop shopping there under that header, and really everything at GoBulldogs.com is there for you right now. And want to remind you again that we're just now barely over a month away from our partnership with Fresno State beginning anew, this time under Bulldog Sports Enterprises, which is there to benefit Fresno State. And that will get started when we become the flagship of Fresno State once again, in this case with 1430 and 790, beginning July 1. So we look forward to that. Of course, the football schedule, as far as the telecast came out yesterday while we were off, because of the Giants, and Jackson will be with me tomorrow. We'll go over that a little bit more. But everything you need right now for Fresno State at the moment, check it out at GoBulldogs.com. And we thank Joe Cruz in this great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for allowing the time to tell you about that. Thanks, as always, to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Tell you more about his business when we go over the schedule for today and the rest of the week. And thanks to our pals at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and waiting on the Lee's Air hotline, which you should mark down because you can reach Phil with your comments over air, 559-320-1430. Jack Furtick waiting on that line. We'll get to Jack in just a second. But a quick note here, and something that has saddened me greatly, and I want to share it with people who knew a really great guy, and that was Rob Emler, who grew up in this town, was on the San Joaquin Memorial basketball team, that great tournament of champions, the Pondexter-led team back in the early 70s. Rob went to college with me. I've known Rob forever, and he was my broadcast partner for a lot of simulcasts in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, radio and TV at Fresno State. And Kathy, his wife, emailed me to tell me that Rob had passed away. I hadn't talked to Rob in a few years, and so Rob was a very young guy, just a couple of years older than I. And so my sympathies to Kathy, who was daughter Alyssa, to everybody, and Kathy's family and Rob's family as well. And I will miss Rob immensely. Just as hardworking a guy as you're ever going to find, and someone who, growing up here, really loved Fresno State, and working with him was just a pleasure. And so I hope people have time, because there is going to be a funeral mass at Holy Spirit Catholic Church on Thursday, June 18th at 10 a.m. So I hope people have a chance to go at that particular date. The services begin the day before on the 17th with the visitation and the rosary from 3 to 7 at Whitehurst, the funeral chapel on knees. So, and the burial will be at Clovis Cemetery. Anybody who wants more information, please email me directly, tdad1@att.net, T-D-A-D, the number one, at att.net. And like I said, I'm deeply, deeply saddened because Rob was such a hard worker. He made my life so easy on air. He did all the work, for goodness sake. He did all the setup. He went down on field, did all the interviews. He was 99.99% of those simulcasts. I would just show up, usually coming off of the talk show, a lot of times joining in progress, which created an interesting situation when I walked through the stands, because people would say, hey, can we buy you a watch there? Don't. Rob knew I was trying to balance a couple of sports entities, two stations that inadvertently happened to be in conflict with their formats long after I had signed the deal. And Rob was the guy who really made this work seamlessly. And I'm, again, just very, very taken aback that he, like a lot of people, has left us too soon. And I don't know why in the world this is happening, but it seems like every day I'm hearing about this. So anyway, to Kathy and everybody in the family, I am so deeply, deeply sorry, and I'm going to miss Rob immensely, that's for sure. But that having been said, the transition is always awkward back to sport. But right now, on the Lee's Air Hotline, let's bring up our great friend and basketball analyst, Jack Furtick. Jack, how you doing?
Doing well, Tony. You know, we didn't talk last week, so he asked me to get in touch with the guys. I texted both Vance and John Welch, and they both got back to me right away. The news for the basketball team at Fresno State is they can't announce it, but they are getting a point guard, and from what Pam said, it may not be a backup point guard. This guy's pretty good. Can't tell you anything about him. You know, the NCAA, I guess, still does have rules. I think there were too many of them left. But that's one. Until you get the paper signed, you can't really say anything about who you're getting. Vance said also that they may even get another big man. In addition, we have some other news for the fans out there who may be interested. Let me see, I had it here. The basketball team, it used to be you were allowed once every 4 years to take a summer trip. And the summer trip helped mainly because you could get 10 extra practices in. And as you know, the way things are now, you really can't get enough practice time with brand new teams that you're getting every year. This year, I think we're bringing in 11 or 12 guys. So they are taking a trip this year to the Bahamas at the end of July. And, you know, fans can go. I know that, you know, I've been to Bahamas a couple times, and boy, it's terrific. And at the end of July might be a real good time to get out of Fresno. So if anyone's interested, Nate Leal, who's the director of basketball operations, I also spoke with him. His number is 559-940-1300. So that's 559-940-1300. You can text him, give him a call if you're interested. Vance told me when I was on the phone with him that just today he got the information. And they are putting together a booster package. I believe what, you know, you get the 10 practices, which is really what the coaches want. But then you get a chance to bring guys on the road and play some outside competition. I would imagine they'll play about 5 games. When I was at USC, we went to the Orient, and I think we played 5 or 6 games. But, you know, in addition to the games, you just have a lot of free time in the Bahamas. They have gambling there. They have great beaches. And, you know, you can hang out with the guys, too, get to know some of the new players and get to know the coaches. If anyone's interested, they should contact me. But that's pretty good news on the basketball front because this point guard that they're really interested in and they think they're going to get might be a better – he's more of a pure point guard than our guy from BYU. That's some good news. They have to get another big guy. That, you know, that helps as well. So, you know, it should make for an interesting season. The way college basketball is now, you never know, because almost every team in every league is getting a brand new team. And when you're at the level of the Pac-12, normally you're either getting guys from Mountain West level teams transferring in because you've lost guys that are usually going to Power 5 teams. So every year is a new adventure. Whether you like it or not, it's just different now in college basketball. And it's that part of it's interesting anyway, in that you're playing with new guys, and usually you're playing against new guys.
Well, and again, when you talk about the potential of the other point guard and another big man, I think that pretty much, Jack, fills up the roster if I've got the math right. And I know some things can change, but I think that would pretty much be the end of the acquisitions. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I talked to Vance about that, and he said that, you know, DJ, it's still up in the air because he had the surgery so late as to whether, you know, he'll sit out this year in rehab or he'll try to play, and that would complete their roster.
It's going to be a really interesting year, and I look forward to the weekly conversations you and I will have. Of course, Jack is with me during the summer as well. And naturally, we'll get Matt Norville back on as we get – Matt will be on during the summer here when we have the 5-day opportunities. A lot of the times the Giants will change the schedule, of course, with the afternoon games. We know this, the Giants are probably not going to bother us in October the way things are going. There's an upside. But we will certainly be – staying with basketball all off season long, and look forward to the start of what is going to be an interesting year in the new pack. And along those lines,
Matt is on in the summer, does he wear a suit and those stylish shoes on the radio?
He is the best dressed announcer, whether it's radio or television ever. He's a guy who he will be home and he will still be in a brilliant, brilliant ensemble. Because nobody dresses better than Matt Norville dresses. That's it. Matt Norville is the fashion piece of Fresno State. Are we in agreement about that, Jack?
Oh, absolutely. And he's a terrific announcer, too. But, I've never seen a guy that dresses better for radio. I mean, I've never seen a guy dresses better for TV. He's like the Pat Riley of announcing.
You look funny about that. Pat Riley, because they're putting the statue up and all of that stuff in L.A., But when Pat Riley was both the player and initially the color analyst on the simulcast with the late, great Chick Hearn, one of our longtime friends, Pat Riley had the floppy hair. He kind of looked like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. And Pat Riley was not a fashion maven by any means as a player or as an early analyst. Then all of a sudden, when he became the coach of the Lakers, suddenly Pat was everybody's fashionista, and that's how people remember. And now he looks as good as any guy in his 80s that I've ever seen in my life, for goodness sake. Well, it's been a long time since he – I don't know if people know this. You know this. He played for Adolph Rupp at Kentucky, for goodness sake.
Yeah, that's right.
That's going way back.
He played in the famous game against Texas Western.
Glory Road, absolutely. And he said, boy, those guys and what Jack is talking about, UCHEP was Texas Western under the Bear Don Haskins, won the national championship in 1966 with the first all African American starting lineup. Now we've talked about this and we're not gonna spend a lot of time on it today, but it was not only an historic time, and particularly playing against Kentucky, where you had the undercurrent of racism at that time. It's an issue, obviously, in the South. But certainly Adolph Rupp was a guy that people wondered about in that regard. And so it was not only on the court, but off the court of great significance. But, Jack, I have pointed this out. You know it already. It was a very, very significant time in America. Those of you are certainly old enough to know it, being older than I am, and I was old enough to know it at the time we were going through the race riots in Watts and everything at that particular point. But this is where freshmen not being eligible played into this, because as we've talked, had freshmen been eligible at that point, Kareem, Ben, Ferdinand, Lewis, Alcindor II would have been playing at UCLA on the varsity team. Instead, he was on a freshman team that beat the defending national champion Bruins in the offseason by 20 points. Jack, there would have been no Glory Road as far as a national championship would have gone if Kareem would have been eligible as a freshman, because UCLA would have won that year too. So I guess when we look back, that was one of the upsides of freshmen not being eligible to play, right? It would have deprived us of that great meaning of that particular run that the Bear put them together there in West Texas.
That was a game that changed college basketball.
Yeah, and Pat was five on white the guys other side.
And nobody wondered about Adolph Rupp. He was a racist.
they
proud of it. he was proud of it.
Well, you're right about it. That's that thing where you say, you know, my kid had questionable hygiene. No, there was nothing questionable about his hygiene. He had problems with hygiene. And questionable implies there was some wiggle room. You're right. I tried to be kind about Adolph Rupp. I should not have.
Yeah.
There was a reason that was his first name, and I'm going to leave it at that. All right. So on that high note, we're going to get out of there before our hair is on fire, or like our hair is on fire. Yeah, a couple of things I want to talk to you about here. I appreciate the basketball update from Fresno State. The situation that the two things. One, Sankey's comments that, you know what, if we don't get this under control, Greg Sankey being the commissioner of the SEC, he was very quickly there to point out that despite what has happened with the Big Ten, the SEC is still better. He is, of course, a completely unbiased source about that, being the commissioner of the SEC. But he did basically say, if we don't get this figured out with the college football playoff and what we're doing in regard to guardrails for NIL, what have you, then maybe the SEC should branch off on its own, which really means the SEC and the Big Ten will do what they have threatened to do. We have Congress, in the meantime, and we've talked about this over and over again, now pushing another bill forward, touting bipartisan support. And I want to point this out about bipartisan support. It's not hard to have bipartisan support when it's not really a political issue, meaning it is not something that the electorate is going to be en masse against or for your particular party. So you can say you've got Democrats and Republicans that are both on the same side with this Protect College Sports Act. But what you can't say, Jack, is whether the rest of Congress will step forward, because you have, as we've talked, one, the political hot potato that in certain areas of the country, they don't want this inequity to change. Two, you've got a lot of people who feel as though this is sport and sport should stay where it belongs and it isn't the real world, so don't waste our time with it, particularly when gas prices are at $4.50 a gallon. And maybe the most important thing about all of this, Jack, is you know how Congress works. If you have a cause celeb, a bill that means a lot to you and a given group on both sides of the aisle, but doesn't mean a lot to others, they will attach riders to the bill that have nothing to do with the bill itself, but certain projects they want in there. And that causes the whole thing to get mired in the swamp, right? And you look at the bill afterward and say, what do these special interests have to do with our bill? Nothing, but we can't get support without giving up certain things. And your bill ends up getting caught up in political areas that had nothing to do with the original premise. That's my fear, Jack, for this whole thing.
Well, you said Congress works. I thought that was an oxymoron.
That's right.
Recently, anyway. But you're right. I think, you know, you're still, it's bipartisan in terms of politics, but it's not in terms of which part of the country you're representing.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Big Ten is basically a Midwest conference. You know, you got the two California schools, and you got Maryland and Rutgers, but for the most part, it's Midwest. The SEC is the South, and you know, Kirby Smart even came out and said, you know, we should just play each other, which
right.
You know, that's an idea. You know, it's not a good idea for a lot of the rest of the country, but maybe it is for them. I think if they just played each other and they couldn't play, you know, Birmingham Southern, or UT Chattanooga, you know, first game of the year and the next to last game of the year, they find out maybe we just don't want to play against all SEC teams every week. You know, it's one of those be careful what you wish for deals. But I think you're right. And what would happen in Congress is you'd have people from the non-Power 2 conference, Big Ten, SEC, you know, you have a lot of people hitting their congressmen saying, hey, you know what happened to us? Why are you, why are you abandoning our schools? Let's say Pac-12, Mountain West, schools in the East, even ACC schools, which, you know, now have a lot of schools in the northern part of the country as well. So I think that would become a political battle, you know, between where the congressmen, what areas they represent. I just think it's a bad idea to do it. You already have the NFL. Basically what you're saying, you know, they would be the power college teams, but they would be the minor league for the NFL is what it would come down to. And then you'd have college. Most of the college teams, it wouldn't be so bad in, you know, for a Fresno State. I mean, you'd have your own national championship and it would be
right.
Against some pretty good teams. You know, so I don't know if it'll ever go. If Congress gets involved, chances are I won't see it in my lifetime. And my lifetime isn't all that long. I mean, I'm more than over the hill.
Oh, talk about that end of life thing on your your medication in your back when you said, was that about the medication or about my long-term viability, right? Because there was a ladder.
I'm middle-aged if I live to 160.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel these days. Oh, look, the delineation of the Protect College Sports Act. And, Pete Thamel was on with Van Pelt last night, and they were talking about it. And I thought Scott made the most cogent point when he said, if this were a linear proposition, meaning point A to point B, you got a shot to get it done. But nothing in Congress, when you want support from both sides of the aisle, nothing is ever linear. That's when people attach riders said that bear no relation to the actual topic itself. And because of that, it then drags it down into other areas where others that were before the bill are against it because of the riders that are attached that might have something to do with something in someone's home district that they have been pushing forward and been denied. So now they're going to use the opportunity to hold this bill hostage so they can get something that has nothing to do with sport in there. And that's why when the SBP said, if it were linear, you have a chance, but it's not going to be linear. He's right. This is going to be like Lombard Street in San Francisco. You know what I mean, Jack? That's how linear this is going to be. Okay. So, but for people that haven't read the story, because it is new, here is what the Protect College Sports Act is promoting right now. Limiting athletes to transferring schools only one time without penalty. Limiting eligibility to a maximum of 5 years. We've talked about this. Prohibiting former professional athletes from playing in college. This is where this Sorsby thing comes into play, because his betting that he did when he was in Indiana, he said he didn't bet on any games he played in, but it prohibits you from continuing to college. And then prohibiting schools from poaching a coach from another school during that sports season. Okay, those are all well and good bullet points, Jack. Here's the problem that it ignores. One, It does not address, even if they cap NIL one more time, they can cap NIL at $20 million for each school, but they can't cap the outside monies that come from sponsors. So one more time, if I'm sitting as an administrator at Fresno State and I am limited at $20 million, and I realize Fresno State doesn't reach that total, but let's just talk about it in theory, and I see other athletes I want, and I've got local business people that can help me, and Jack is one of them. I can then go to Jack and say, Jack, here's the thing. I'm tapped out at $20 million, but there's this kid that we want that, again, the community knows nothing about him, but if we can bring him here, he's going to be great. So I need you to step forward and say you want this kid to be the spokesperson. Or your business, even though nobody in the area knows him from Adam, and you can pay him untold millions, and the NCAA can't stop it. That's still in play. The other thing, Jack, that is still in play in this whole thing, and it creates a real problem, is they don't, in this bill, want to address the employee relationship. They don't want to even get there. And you and I both know, the only way it works in professional sport, and right now Major League Baseball is trying once again to proffer the idea of a salary cap. But the salary cap, the hard cap that is there in the NFL and the NBA, that had to be collectively bargained. And I will ask you, Jack, how in the world can you do anything in the NCAA that is collectively bargained if you don't have an employee-employer relationship? The only people smiling about that would be the lawyers in billable hours, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They don't want employee relationships because then you're going to have a union, and they're trying to stay away from unions. They're trying to stay from, just having athletes as employees, period. But there are so many issues. Just the bill itself, you're going to have issues with 5 years eligibility, one-time transfer. Now, when you transfer a second time, you have to sit out a year. According to this bill, that year you sit out counts as one of your 5 years.
That's correct.
Now,
yes.
They don't have anything in there about Mormon missions where, you're going to count those. You're going to count those 2 years, of a mission. You're going to have trouble. They don't have anything about service academies, service members, where a guy may go into the service and then come out and try to play. No matter what you do, there are always going to be problems. And it seems like in today's world, people, as soon as they hear something, find out, let's see what's wrong with it. And they always look at why it can't be done instead of why it can be done. And I go back to when I worked for George Raveling, he used to tell us, never come in and tell me that we have a problem if you don't have a potential solution for it.
Right.
So, if you were to come in and say, George, we got a problem, with this kid, whatever. Hey, here's what we can do about it. That's fine. But just don't come in and complain. And I don't think that's the case now. I think the case now is as soon as something comes up, people are going to say, here's what's wrong with it. And that's why nothing ever gets done. The way athletics is now, you just, like you've said many times, you got to live with it. That's the way it is. NIL, you're not going to be able to, you're going to get outbid on players. You got to hope that you can find the guys who, come on. And like Gorey last year was not particularly highly recruited. Wasn't recruited by the big schools. He came here. You know, what they'd like to do is sign a 2-year contract where a cast will at least stay 2 years when he signs. There's so many. That to me makes more sense than any of this other stuff, because I don't see any school being opposed to signing a guy to a 2-year contract when you're giving NIL. And I know Kentucky was smart enough to give, I think it was the kid from San Diego State, Guac, whatever his name is. I think they gave him, I think, $8 million, but he had to sign for 2 years. And now he has to make a decision. You know, hey, $8 million at Kentucky, I'll sign for 2 years. And I think everybody should be doing that. You sign for two. Other than that, you get a guy who comes in and he has 1 foot out the door.
Well, one of the problems, Jack, and we've talked about it over and over again, okay, and it becomes relevant again because this is brand new, like I said, this Protect College Sports Act. It's Ted Cruz trying, it's Cantwell trying, it's everybody's trying to get it done, but they're, you know, the devil is in the details all the time. One of the great frustrations, and, you know, we talked about this, you know, Shakespeare said it, kill all the lawyers, right? Okay, well, figuratively speaking, we understand what he was getting at, but the bottom line is, and lawyers are notorious for doing this, they put together legislation, and that the vast majority of your Congress people are lawyers, and they put loopholes into the process. So they are deliberately setting up escape hatches, if you will. It's why people wonder why in Congress they don't take a harder line about certain things. Because, Jack, does the phrase, but for the grace of God go I, sound familiar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, nobody wants to put a hard and fast rule on that might skewer somebody when it might inadvertently skewer you. If ask Swalwell about it, okay? I'm not going to get. I'm just saying, you know, you can take a stance and you hope that somebody doesn't show up with information that takes you down. And so Congress people are always living in fear of that, so they never want to make a hard and fast rule that they can't somehow wiggle out of. And every time, if you've ever been around lawyers putting a contract together, the first thing they do, Jack, is try to put escape clauses that nobody sees in there, which then renders a lot of the legislation ineffective. If you put something together and you didn't have these loopholes, it would be a lot easier to get around that. I mean, NIL is a great example, right? Here's a cap, $20 million. Okay, most schools can't reach it, but let's look at the moneyed aristocracy and say they can. But then you turn around, and through the courts, you allow the loophole of that's only money coming directly from the school, and what a sponsor might offer is separate. Well, Jack, you have effectively rendered that cap useless, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I do want to put this in. I will stand corrected. If you're going to get an expert on the rule, I just got a text from Vance saying the bill will include military, religion, and pregnancy, as far as he knows. So, you know, that's
and also, aren't the medical waivers still up for grabs too, Jack? I believe you have the right in the 5 years.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I mean, in some cases, they've turned down medical red shirts, you know, where when I was coaching, they had medical red shirts, you know, where a guy was out, but you couldn't play. Now they're adding some, but according to Vance, there are no medical waivers. That they're, you know, that's, you have 5 years.
And that's,
you know,
what we wanted.
Five years, no medical waivers.
Right. Well, and that's what we had talked about.
A lot of it makes sense. The problem is that when it makes sense, somebody tries to say, here's why it doesn't. And we certainly need some reform now, because I don't know anybody who thinks that a kid should play at four schools in 4 years or five schools in 5 years.
We saw it happen in the Rose Bowl. What I loved about it, we saw it happen in the Rose Bowl, and we had announcers actually saying, well, he's a seasoned player, as though this is a positive. Look, you and I have been down this road before, and here's the problem, Jack, that we have. You have got a situation where, one more time, this is not a requirement that you play athletics to get an academic degree. This is not jury duty, okay? You're not going to get a summons to go play sports. It is a voluntary proposition, which means you should be able to put together rules that say, if you choose to play a sport, if you choose to market yourself through sport, you have the right to do so. But it is not a requirement. Therefore, if we set a standard, whether it be 5 years to play, no exception, or you get one transfer and anything after that, you have to sit out a year. Jack, those parameters are something that if you find unacceptable, then go ahead at age 18 and see if you're good enough to play professionally. That's my attitude, right? If you don't like it, go and play professionally and see if somebody in the G League is going to sign you. See if somebody overseas is going to sign you. We talked about this, and Vance knows this from his time in the NBA. I've talked to him about it. Those years that he spent with the Nuggets, with the Kings, et cetera, he saw the different world. He saw the great athletes that couldn't even hang on, as we've talked. Couldn't even hang on to a roster spot. The reality is, it is still a privilege to play collegiate sport. It is voluntary, and if you don't like the rules, then don't play. Instead, what we've said is, you know what? If you don't like the rules, then we'll change them to make it easier for you. And in doing that, the bastardization of competitive balance is just monumental, isn't it? We've just taken competitive balance and punted it like Ray Guy at the Coliseum, for God's sake, okay?
Which is Alex S. Peruhoff, more locally. I had to get that in because we rehab together, and he's going to be, where do you see him at Alabama, the punter for Alabama, who had gone to San Joaquin Memorial. But you're right. It's what we have now seems to be disliked by nearly 100% of the country. So what they're trying to do is making it better. Now, there are going to be loopholes. You know, when I was at Tennessee in the SEC, they used to say, as soon as the NCAA makes a rule, those guys look at how they can legally break it. And if they can't, they just illegally break it. So right now, there needs change. And what they're proposing, I think, is a positive. We ought to change. And then if there are things that have to addendums later on, then, you know, we can deal with that later.
Well, I want the athletes to be treated fairly. I want them to be compensated fairly. But what we have done is we have turned this into the inability to build a program and to build 1 year to another, to another, to another. And when you do that and you make it just about the size of your bank account, invariably, everybody is going to chase the money, understandably so. And when they do it, you have taken competitive balance and you punted it right away. And then you start to erode your fan bases. You start to lose interest in the sport itself. And if you keep it long enough, people turn their back on it because they don't want. Hey, look, the Warriors were damned entertaining in 17 and 18, right? But Jimmy Kimmel made a comment. He said, the Warriors have come up with a new version of competitive balance. Put all the best players on one team, okay? You know, I was asked, would I ever, when we used to put together pickup games, would I ever put the best five guys on one side? Well, if I did that, guess who wouldn't show up? The other five guys wouldn't show up anymore, right?
Sure.
And that's the danger you face here. If it's just about that upper group, and you're right, and we've talked about it, if you have that second tier and there's national interest in that second tier, they'll be fine. But if you erode fan bases to the point that they feel as though they're second-class citizens, that's all there is to it, Jack, they're going to turn their back on it. And you're going to find out as we did during COVID that people can live without sport, as tough as it might be for you and I to deal with. During COVID, people didn't find sport nearly that important, did they?
Sure, sure. And that's really only for football in terms of college, because you're never going to do away with March Madness. And, you know, the Gonzagas and the Villanovas and the teams, Marquette.
If you're going to let them in, sure, Jack. But, you know, if you're going to end up with 100 and some odd teams and all of them from the power conferences, then you're going to have a different story entirely. You know, so I don't know.
Exactly.
Hey, look, once again, out of time too quickly. We'll reconvene next week. Birdie Jack at AOL.com, 559-287-3305. Join the Timeout Club. It's great for your social aspects and also some terrific inside information. Jack, appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. Real quickly, who wins tonight? The San Antonio force a game 7 at OKC. Yes or no?
I think they might, but I think OKC wins one way or the other, either game 6 or game 7.
Well, and you're
seeing two fan bases from very small markets. These teams mean a lot to them.
And I would tell both of them, watch the whistles closely against the Knicks in the NBA Finals for that reason. That's all I'm SGA is going to find out he's no longer getting the calls when it's the Knicks that are fouling him. That's all I'm saying. All right, Jack, talk to you next week. Take care, Fazan. All right, guys, Jack Berger, go take a break, come back, talk about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. He'll have 2 hours for you, and then game 6 of the NBA Western Conference Finals. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:54. A couple minutes ago on the show, handed off to Phil's great show behind the bench. Normally 3 hours, 2 hours today, and then it will be game 6 from San Antonio as OKC tries to close out Victor and the Spurs. If they don't, there'll be a game 7 in OKC. And, of course, the Knicks are waiting for the NBA Finals to start. Actually, the NBA Finals will start next Wednesday, June 3rd, at either San Antonio or at OKC. And Jack brought it up when we talked about it the other day. Really thought for San Antonio to win, they were going to have to win Game 5, because I don't think they're going to be able to win a Game 7 on the home floor of OKC, even with J-Dub out. Again, the two Jalen Williams, you have a J-Dub and a J-Will. J-Dub, of course, just the Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, and he is out right now. But the Thunder's so deep, I don't think the Spurs can get it done, but they're going to have to win tonight to give themselves a chance. The one roll of the dice in Game 7. Of course, we'll have this one for you tonight and Game 7 if need be in a couple of days. We'll see how it plays out. 5:30, they'll start it tonight as far as tipping things off the pre at 5. So Phil will be with you from 3 to 5. Give him a call on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. Also, keep in mind that on Thursdays, you've got the situation, once again, of being at Fashion Furniture with our great friend Rod Abedikian, El Paso across from River Park. The best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. Some good eats as well. And always stop in anytime during the week to Fashion Furniture. Keep in mind the Memorial Day sale still going on, so check things out at Fashion Furniture. Also, on Saturday, Phil and Paul Metters will be in Visalia for the great matchup of the section championship between Bullard and Liberty of Bakersfield. So look forward to that. Tom Donald and Bullard trying to pull in another title. It's been a while, I think, since, 2012, I think, since that storied program had won the section championship. So we'll have that for you as well. Also, just heard the commercial live, if you're listening, Paul Metters has his fine show on Saturday mornings from First Green Sports. That is Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, T-D-A-D, the number 1 at att.net. First names are fine. Again, right now I can't get back to you guys privately because I'm limited in what I can do with the phone, but computer-wise, I can at least see your emails. And Benito, I appreciate your emails each and every day, and I'll try to address some of what you said today, tomorrow, when I talk with Jackson. Jackson will be with me. We'll talk about the schedule and everything for Fresno State that was released yesterday. Of course, we weren't able to talk about it yesterday because the Giants had our time slot. The Giants, incidentally, Will be back with us tomorrow against the Rocks in Colorado. And you've got the local aspects of things with the A's playing host to Aaron Judge and the Yankees in Sacramento tomorrow. So we'll talk more about that as we roll through the schedule for the weekend. Always want to acknowledge our great friend Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. They allow me the time every day to tell you about the schedule again: planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And we always commend Ed for the great fundraising he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering. Again, the goal: unify athletics and academics to provide more funding and resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and we thank Ed for everything he does for not only Fresno State, but the Valley as a whole, with one of the very best civil engineering businesses you're going to find anywhere on the planet. The final reminder is here. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. And one more time, we're just a month away now from the formal relationship between Chris, everybody at the station, and Fresno State. Bulldog Sports Enterprises put in place to benefit Fresno State in addition to the station. And so we'll tell you more about that as we once again become the flagship, this time with 1430 and 790, for all Fresno State athletics beginning July 1. Thanks, as always, to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Again, give Phil a call on the Lee's Air hotline. 559-320-1430 is with you from 3 to 5. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Jack Burdick. We'll see you tomorrow with Jackson Moore. Enjoy basketball tonight and a lot of baseball and basketball over the weekend. Stay tuned for Phil on KFIG Fresno.